Welcome to part four in the finale of our series called Transformed. If you want to take out your message notes, you can and follow along. There's going to be a lot of information that we're going to talk about today, and we're going to cover a lot of things very quickly. Again, let me mention to you that everything, all of the notes are on the website. And these are the notes that I preach from. They're on the website. So if you feel like you miss anything, go to the website under sermons and check it out. It's all right there. And you can get all the points that we may cover in case you're writing as fast as you can, because I have a tendency to talk fast. And if you feel like you missed something, you can get it all right there and be a part. So let's look at our foundation scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this. Romans 12, 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." Everybody say, new person. New person. "Let him transform you into a new person." By how? By changing the way that you think. Life change and transformation is going to take place in our lives as we change the way that we think. Very beginning of the series, we talked about the pattern of behavior. You think about something, you begin to build images of it in your thinking, and then behavior follows all of those things, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. But it says that let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And there's a very, very important scripture found in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Just the first part of that verse says this, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." So really, our lives and the totality of our behaviors and what we look at in our lives really comes from how we think on the inside and how we deal with those thoughts and encounter them. And so we've been talking about this process for the last 3 weeks. And we want to go to a scripture in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about the way that your thinking works. He laid it out for us very clear, and we're going to read it from the Old King James just because of the way it's translated. It's translated very well in the Old King James. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verses 3 through 5, we see this. It says, Paul wrote and he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." See, what you need to understand, what I need to understand, is when there are things in our lives that need to be changed about us. Now, I'm not talking about you trying to change everybody else. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. God didn't call you to be anybody's Holy Spirit. But He did call you to do something about you. He called me to do something about me. Oh, I can tell this one's going to be a good one this morning. Anyway, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Why? "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly," they're not carnal, "but they're mighty through God to the pulling down," and I highlighted this word for you, "strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, in these scriptures, Paul laid it out. He laid it out from the strongest scenario down to where it begins. And I flipped the script on you and started at the beginning where it's laid out the opposite way. And so I want to just review. I want to give you some quick points real quick for a couple of minutes. And if you miss any of this, again, it's on the website, because I'm going to run through these very quick. Paul tells us in these verses that there are three levels of thinking. You start out with your thoughts. They begin with thoughts, and thoughts happen. They come through your mind. And then the next level would be, then after you dwell on that thought, it builds mental pictures in your life called imaginations. And then if you dwell on those imaginations long enough, then you begin to act on them. And when you begin to act on them, they become what Paul calls strongholds. And another name for a stronghold is actually a habit. All right? Now, everybody say habit. All right, we're going to talk more about habits in just a second, but I want to hit some points that we've talked about in the previous weeks. Here's the first one. You and I determine the thoughts that we take or we reject. You know, we might have a misbelief that says, well, you know, I can't help what thoughts pop into my mind and what I think about. Well, you may not be able to determine how thoughts or when thoughts enter your mind because they happen because of things in life and circumstances and words that are spoke to you and all of those things. But here's what you do have a choice in, as to whether you take them or you reject them, whether you accept them into your life or you tell them, I'm not going to have you be a part of your life or part of my life. And then Jesus told us, he actually told us in Matthew 6:25 that you can take a thought or you can reject it. Then he went on and said in Matthew 6:31, and this is our next point, the way that you take a thought is when you attach words to it. The thought becomes yours when you speak it out of your mouth. And then it becomes a part of your thinking at that point. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, why take you the thought about your life saying? In other words, why are you worried and you're talking about your worry? Now again, all of us are tempted to worry. We're all going to have thoughts that say, you know, I'm not going to make it. How are we going to do this? Blah, blah, blah. But here, you determine what happens with that thought. Just don't let it pass through your mouth. All right? I love what Willie George says. He said, don't let your thoughts take the elevator from here down to here by way of this right here. I know that's very children's churchish, and it might be a little, you know, below some of you, but I hope it helps you grab what you're saying. Now, here it is. The next point is this. You make thoughts obey. You make thoughts obey. Paul tells us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You make thoughts obey by speaking God's word, which goes opposite of the way that thought is. So if you have a thought that crosses your mind that says you're not going to make it, then you open your mouth and you say, you know what? No, I'm not going to accept that, because God says that He is my source and my supply. He is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. And so He will take care of me. See, that went right over some of y'all's head. That was a joke. Some of y'all didn't miss it, didn't catch it. All right. Now, here's a very important point that I did not really say or emphasize over the last few weeks, and that is this. You can't just put thoughts out of your mind. You must replace them with something. There's no such thing as an empty head. I know we may think that. You know, there was a big thing back in the 80s about airheads. There's no such thing as an airhead. Everybody is thinking about something all the time. So what you have to do is you have to deal with the thoughts that you don't want, put them out, but you must replace them with what you need to be thinking about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, the next point is, we talked last week about this thing called imaginations. And after you've thought about something enough, you begin to build mental pictures of your life being lived out based on your thoughts. So if your thoughts are good and in line with God's word, then you'll be able to build mental pictures of your life being lived out according to God's word. Look at this. Your imagination is your ability to see with your heart what you can't yet see with your eyes. I'm going to say that again. Your imagination is a God-given gift that God has given you to be able to see your life being lived out in your heart before you actually see it with your physical eyes. Now, whether you know it or not, here's the next thing. Your imagination is dictating how your life is going. Now, you know, and I know sometimes we want to play the victim card and say, well, you know, it's because of all the people in my life. That's why my life is, and they may be having an impact. But again, if you need to change some people, but at the same time, change your thinking. Hallelujah. All right. Now, here's the next thing. You and I get to choose whether our imagination is positive or negative, which is positive is this thing in the Bible called hope. Hope, H-O-P-E. Hope is the way you see your life being lived out. Or it can be negative, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't prophesy negative over your life. Now, and I heard a message a long time ago, and I'm not going to preach it this morning, but let me tell you something. Look at me in the eye. You are the prophet of your own life. And I don't mean P-R-O-F-I-T. I mean P-R-O-P-H-E-T. You are the prophet of your own life. You are determining the course of your life by how you think, what you see, and what you put words to, and whether you are living according to a positive hope built on God's word or a negative imagination, you're determining that. Here's the last thing. The way you change your imagination is to spend time thinking about God's word. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, thinking about scriptures like Jesus wept. I'm not talking about those kinds of scriptures. What I'm talking about are the scriptures that tell you how your life ought to be going. Scriptures like in Romans 8 that say that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Scriptures like Jesus took your infirmities, he bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and by his stripes you were healed. I'm talking about scriptures that say I am blessed and cannot be cursed. I'm talking about that's how you need to be building that mental image in your life. Now, I want to deal with this thing called habits. Everybody say habits, please. Turn to another verse from 2 Corinthians 10:4. I want to read it out of the NIV Bible because of the translation. It says this, "The weapons we fight with." Now, you need to accept the fact that you are in a fight. Somebody says, yes, I know. I fight the devil every day. Let me help you with something. You would be amazed at how little of a problem the devil really is in your life. You and I are the biggest problems in our life. You know, that's like the person who goes from situation to situation, job to job, and they'll come to you, Pastor, I need you to pray for me, because every job I go to, it's the same problems over and over and over again. And I'm like, hey, listen, maybe it's not the job, because the common denominator is you. You are going from job to job, and maybe the problem be you. But he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Hallelujah. On the contrary, the weapons that you fight with, have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, I'm going to change that word stronghold, and I'm going to say this. On the contrary, the weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish and destroy bad habits. Now, I'm not going to ask you to take an inventory of the person next to you, so you don't have to look at them right now. I just want you to think about you right now, and I want you to just ask yourself, are there bad habits in my life that I know need to be broken? If the answer is yes, and I would probably say, if you have air in your lungs this morning, you probably have a bad habit that needs to be broken. Now, there is no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone, because listen, the guy standing up front talking to you has habits that need to be broken too. Shocker, I know, because y'all all thought I rode in here on angel's wings. I didn't, okay? I'm here to tell you that I have things that I deal with in my life just like you do, and I have to take advantage of the same weaponry that you do in order to destroy those things. So what is a stronghold? Well, in the Greek language, it's a Greek word. I'm not going to tell you what the Greek word is, but it's a Greek word that means a thick-walled fortification. A thick-walled fortification. So, you know, picture in your mind maybe some of the old castles that you see from Europe, you know, from the Middle Ages, and how the thick walls were there, and people could get on the walls and they could defend the castle, and it had high towers and all of those things to give advantage points during battle. Well, what I want you to understand is a stronghold or a habit is exactly that. It is a fortification that has been built up in your thinking that keeps you connected to that behavior. All right? Now, there's another translation of the very same word, and a Greek scholar that I was reading after actually said it could probably be more accurately translated this way, and it's going to surprise you. It's a prison. Because think about it. A prison has thick walls, bars, and I'm not talking about the prisons they have today. I'm talking about the old school prisons. They had the thick walls, the high towers, and all of that, and people were held captive in them. And see, what I believe is a lot of us are held prisoner by some habits, and we don't know how to get out of prison. But I want to tell you, I want to give you some good news starting right off the bat here, is that Jesus died, paid the price so you could be free. He walked into the prison, opened the prison doors, left the keys laying there, and he's waiting on you and me to get up and walk out. So we're going to talk about how you get up and walk out. And what I'm talking about is those patterns of behavior that we have built in our lives over a long period of time that we wake up one day and we go, wow, I really need to get that out of my life. And we're going to talk about how you get that out of your life. Let me give you a definition of a habit. This is right out of the dictionary. It's a pattern of behavior that we do enough until it has become almost involuntary. In other words, it's something that we do repetitively, and we do it enough to where we do it and we really don't have to think about it. Let me give you an illustration here. How many of you drive to work every day? Okay? How many of you work every day? No, I'm just kidding. If you drive to work every day, and let me ask you a question. Has this ever happened to you, where you have left the house, gotten in your car, driven for miles, and your brain has been thinking about something else, and all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm in traffic. I don't know if I ran red lights, I mean, you just know you didn't have an accident, but you got from point A to point B, and you can't remember how you got from point A to point B. Why? Because it's a habit, and you've done it so much, it's involuntary. Now, I'm hoping, okay, that most of you in this room, you know, did not have to have somebody come over to your house this morning and tell you you need to brush your teeth before you leave the house. I'm hoping that you've done it enough over the years that it's a habit and you really go into the bathroom before you leave the house and it's kind of a pre-programmed thing. You know, I need to brush my teeth. See, those are things, and actually God created you that way so that you can have patterns of behavior in your life that are good and you really don't have to think about doing them. Could you imagine what your life would be lived like? I mean, what it would be like to have patterns of behavior based on the Word of God built into your life, and you something happens and you behave a certain way, the way God wants you to behave, and you really didn't even have to think about it. It was automatic. In other words, you know, when the Bible teaches us and tells us how to forgive and to walk in love towards people, you know, and then that person on your job gets on your nerves, well, it's involuntary. You built it into a habit where you don't get upset. You don't fly off the handle. Matter of fact, the proverb says a soft answer turns away wrath, and you just reply very kindly, very courteously, and you move on about your day. And all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I didn't get mad at so-and-so today. I usually get frustrated with them, but I didn't today. Here's why. Because you have built a habit into your life. And so the good news is you can have good habits built into your life just like you can have bad habits built into your life. So we're going to help you get rid of the bad habits today. Let's look at a scripture in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, because I want you to understand, and this works hand in hand with what Paul told us about the weapons of our warfare being strong in the Lord, okay? Isaiah 10, 27 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day. Everybody say that day. That day. Say that day is today. Turn to the person beside you and say, today is that day. Okay? He says this, that it shall come to pass in that day that his burden. Now, let me give you a little background so you won't think I'm taking this scripture out of context. Isaiah is prophesying to the children of Israel who have been captured by the Assyrians, and they are treating them very harshly. God is prophesying to them and telling them, there's coming a day where I'm going to set you free from those folks. And so he says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the tormentor's burden, the person that has you in prison, the person that has you in bondage, that thing that has you in bondage shall be taken away from off of your shoulder, and his yoke, that thing, that habit, from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now let me tell you what the anointing is. This is extra. This is not in your notes. It won't cost you anything. For those of you who like extra notes, write this down. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Now, if God's power is available to destroy yokes and to remove burdens, then that tells me God doesn't want me burdened and He does not want me oppressed and bound up. He wants me free. Everybody say free. Free. God wants you to be free. He does not want patterns of behavior in your life and in my life that hold us prisoner. He wants you to be free of those things. All right? So I had to play off when I was coming up. You know, I like to put little cute little titles in my notes. And so I had to put this in my notes. And those of you who watch television, you'll understand this. So everybody say Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
All right? Anybody ever watch Breaking Bad? Okay, we're not talking about meth today, okay? We're talking about breaking habits, all right? Now, here's the thing that I want you to, and I want you to understand this and get this down in your heart. You can gain the victory over the bad strongholds or habits in your life. Those things can be broken. And I'm talking about those things that you have dealt with your entire life and haven't been able to be free from. I want you to know that today can be your day that you walk out of jail. That today can be your day that you are free. And I want to give you, you know, I'm a steps kind of guy. I like to, for somebody, when you're telling me how to do something, tell me what, 1, 2, 3, 4, so I can follow it. So I like to teach that way. So I'm going to give you some steps to show you how you can break those habits. Now, let me say something to you. And I'm talking about any kind of habit. It could be, you know, and no judgment, but, you know, if you struggle with something like smoking or you know, any habit, it can be broken because of the anointing. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying, habit-breaking power of Almighty God, and that power is available to you right now. You remember, that day is today. All right? So here we go. Number one. Now, here's a big one. Start right off the gate. Be willing to identify the stronghold. Be willing to identify the stronghold. I heard somebody say, I think it was Bishop Jake said, that you cannot be healed of something that you deny. You cannot be set free from that which you deny exists in your life. Now, I'm not saying you fall down and become victim to that thing, but you must understand and realize, okay, that is something in my life. We cannot go through life denying that stuff exists in our life. You have to acknowledge it. You have to be willing to identify it and be willing to say, okay, I know this needs to change. Because a lot of folks walk around in a different state of North Carolina. They walk around in a state of denial. They pretend like stuff, folks like with financial peace, they're in debt over their heads. They're struggling financially. I don't have any money problems. You're in denial. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you and it's going to have a negative impact on your life. No matter what the habit is, you must identify it. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says this, and I'm going to change a word here so you can grab it. Whoever conceals their habits does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces their bad habits finds mercy. Okay, hallelujah. Here's a principle that's in the Bible, and really, it's so simple, but it's this. Darkness cannot stay where light is present. And when you take that thing that you've been hiding and protecting and keeping away from everybody else, and you think nobody else sees it, which, by the way, they do. But when you think you've got this thing so hidden, but when you decide, you know what, I'm going to identify it, what you do is you take it and you expose it to the light, and that which is brought to the light can no longer stay in darkness. See, what God wants you to do is to stay by yourself, hidden off somewhere with your habit. That's because He knows that the moment you expose it and bring it to the light, it's beginning to fall apart at that point. Number two, now this is a big one, fast and deny the desires of the flesh to amplify the anointing. Fast and deny the flesh to amplify the anointing. Now, I want to make sure that theologically I make this accurate. You cannot make the anointing or the power of God any bigger than it already is. However, you and I can do certain things in our lives to diminish it or amplify it. All right? So God is still God. His power is still all powerful. However, you and I can do certain things to amplify that power or diminish that power in our lives. Now, here's something. I'm going to use a word that I want you to get, and that is this. Part of what you have to do is you have to identify triggers. Triggers. Because I guarantee you, whatever that habit is that needs to be broken, there are triggers for that habit. Things in your life that if you really thought about it, that you could identify and say, yep, that thing right there is what takes me down the path towards that pattern of behavior. You know, it could be that, you know, it's stress. And when you get stressed out, you have a tendency to go to things to escape from your stress. Well, what you need to do is, you know, yes, you need to deal with whatever the habit is, but you first need to identify what's the trigger. Maybe I'm not dealing with the trigger properly. All right, so you've got to identify the trigger. And listen, I can't tell you what your triggers are. I can't pretend to stand up here and say, well, you know, your trigger for this is going to be ABC. No, only you know what your triggers are. And here's what I encourage you to do. Ask God. If you're not sure, He'll show you. All right? Isaiah 58, verse 8. Now, Isaiah 58 is a great chapter that talks about fasting. So if you ever want to know some things about fasting, read Isaiah chapter 58. Now, here's what Isaiah says happens when you fast. And by the way, I'm not talking about just food. All right, I'm not just talking about food. You can fast television. You can fast social media. Well, you can fast the internets. You can fast the mall. You can fast credit cards. I mean, whatever it takes, all right? What you're doing is you're denying your flesh those desires, all right? And so Isaiah 58 says this, when you deny those desires, here's what he said will happen. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing or deliverance or freedom from that habit will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So what God is saying is when you begin to deny those cravings, those desires of your flesh, the power of God gets turned up and the power of God goes before you and the power of God is behind you to protect you. Here's number three. Isaiah also gives us a great promise, and that's this. Pray and ask the Lord, and He will answer you. Pray and ask the Lord. Ask Him what? Ask Him to help you with that situation, with that habit, and He will answer. Isaiah 58 verse 9 says this, when you deny the cravings of your flesh, He says this, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He'll say, not today. No, what does it say? You'll cry for help and He will say, here I am. Now, I don't know about you. All you need is the I am to show up one time. You know, I go back to Moses when he was at the burning bush and he asked God, he said, God, who did I tell the children of Israel sent me to deliver them? God just says, He didn't even give them a name. He just said, you just tell them I am sent you. What I want you to see is when you deny the cravings of your flesh, the I am shows up to help you overcome that thing. Number four, now here's where your part comes in. God has a part and you have a part. The number four is this. There has to be some word pushback from you. There has to be some word pushback from you. What do I mean by pushback? That means when you're dealing with this situation and the temptation comes, you can't just sit there and say, help me, Jesus. Oh, it ain't working. I might as well do it now. No, when you cry to the Lord, He's going to say, here I am. I'm here to help you. But you know what He's going to do? He's going to bring some word up out of your spirit that you've heard before. And what you have to do is you're going to have to do like Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. Look at what Luke 4:4 says. Jesus answered the temptation and He answered the devil and He said, it is written. We don't even have to read the rest of the verse. All you got to do is reach down into your heart and the Holy Spirit will bring something up out of your spirit and put it in your mouth and say, no, it is. Is written. Now here, I got to be honest with you and tell you this. It's probably not going to happen one time. Listen, when Jesus was tempted in Luke chapter 3, and I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. The devil still came to Him three times. Now, he won every time. So we can't be naive to think, okay, I'm going to quote the word one time and it's going to work and the devil's going to run away and he ain't going to bother me no more. No, I promise you, you might say it one time, he's going to give you about a 30-second break and then he's coming right back. You got to hit him again. Hit him again. Somebody says, how long till you win? Amen. Number five. Now, here's a big one. Here's a big one. Deal with one habit at a time. If you like most of us, you might have three or four that you know need to be worked on. Don't deal with all three or four of them. You know, there's an old saying, for those of you who are raised in the country, you'll understand this saying. You know, people used to ask you, how you doing? And people will respond, well, I'm busier than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And I think that's going to hit some of you in the car on the way home. All right. Here's the picture that I want you to get. The devil wants to keep you busier than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Some of y'all are like, I get it. No, here's what I'm telling you. He's going to start so many fires in your life, and he's going to get you to deal with so many things about the habits that you know need to be changed, because he knows that as long as he can keep you chasing your tail, you ain't going to win. Here's what you got to do. You got to attack one thing at a time. One thing. Somebody says, but what about the other stuff? The other stuff will take care of itself. Deal with one thing at a time. Because here's what you're going to find out. I'm going to let you in a little secret. Here's a little secret. Don't tell anybody, but here's a little secret. You're going to be amazed to find out the connection between that one and the others. And if you'll deal with the one, you might end up getting two or three of them at the same time accidentally. But just deal with one at a time. And here's number six, and this is so important. Don't try to be a hero. Get help if you need it. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Write that down real quick and then look at me. Don't be a hero. Get help if you need it. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If you're dealing with a substance abuse, whether it be alcohol or drugs, and there's no condemnation in here, God wants to help you. If you're dealing with pornography in your life, listen to me. You're going to have help. Now, here's why. Because you have involved more than one part of your makeup. You have involved your body and your soul now to get addicted to whatever it is that you're addicted to, and you're going to have help because that thing is more powerful than you are. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're dealing with substance abuse, and actually porn does the same thing. You have built some chemical dependencies going on in your physical body that ain't going to go away just because you stand up and declare the Word of God. Amen. Now, I'm being honest with you. Now, I'm not saying the power of God is not strong, but God also set this thing up that you can't do life alone. And you're going to have to find somebody in your life that you can trust. Listen, if you have a substance abuse problem, stop denying it and get help. If you need recovery, we've got resources that we can connect you with and you can get recovery, because you've got to break that thing in your physical body so that your physical body will not be screaming at you while you're battling it up here. Because you're going to have to change some patterns of behavior here, and you're going to have to change some things in your physical body. And I just have to tell you that, because I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that, you know, if you're dealing with a substance abuse or some deep addiction like that, that you can just run around in your room two or three times quoting scripture and you're going to be free. I can't bring you up here and lay hands on you and cast an alcohol devil out of you. I'm being real, folks, because there is no such thing. Like I said, a lot of things we call the devil aren't the devil at all. It's just stuff we built up in our flesh. It's serious, ain't it? Some of y'all looking at me like, what he talking about? I'm just being real. Because see, what we preachers want to do is spiritualize everything and have it where we have a healing line and I come through and knock you down and you fall out, somebody runs up and put a sheet over you, and then you get up and you think, oh, something's happened to me. And then when you get out in the real world and that temptation shows up and ain't nothing changed, you don't know why. Well, let's build some good habits. How about it? Yes. All right. So I've told you how to deal with the bad. I've told you how to break the bad. Now listen, if you got any, we got folks in this church that are skilled at helping you get free. All right, that's why I say there is no condemnation. Hey, nobody in here, if you're dealing with some type of addiction, there is nobody in here that is going to judge you. Because like I said, it might be chocolate cake, but we're all addicted to something. Amen. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good, all right? Let's talk about building a good habit. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, 8 says this, "This book of the law," or "the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe," see yourself doing according to all that is written in it. That sounds to me like you need to say it and you need to imagine it. You need to say it and you need to picture it. For then when you do that, you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. All right? Breaking habits and creating good habits is being prosperous and having good success. All right? So how do we build good habits into our lives? And I'm talking about patterns of behavior, good patterns of behavior. And listen, I want you to get this. It's not about you just trying to address the negative. You've got to replace the negative with better, good, word-based patterns of behavior. Number one is this. Set the standard for your life to be God's Word. You're going to have to make up your mind that this book is the standard in which I live by. God's Word is the way I'm going to live my life. You've got to settle that. You've got to establish that. And listen, it can't be, like I mentioned before, it can't be like the cafeteria. I like that portion of Scripture because it feels good. But this one over here is like broccoli. I ain't going to touch that because I don't want none. And I'm going to hurry up and get down to the dessert section. All right? No, it's you say, if I read it in the Word and it says that I need to do it, then it's not even up for debate. I am going to let that set the standard for my life. And when you do, the Word will become preeminent in your life. It'll become the authority in your life. Listen, you cannot base your behavior on the cultures of society. Because our world is so upside down right now. They're calling bad good and good bad. You've got to go to the Word and let the Word tell you what your life needs to be like. Here's number two, all right? Keep, like Joshua, the Lord told Joshua, keep the Word of God in your eyes and in your mouth. In your eyes and in your mouth. In your eyes and in your mouth. Now, please don't get weird with that. Don't be on your job when you're supposed to be working reading your Bible. But have the Word on some postcards and stuff when you get in the car on the way home if you need to. And what I'm talking about is Word that deals with the habit maybe that you're trying to break, or that you and God are working on, or maybe a new habit that you're building into your life. All right? You need to keep the Word in your eyes and in your mouth. Here's number three. Imagine your life being lived out according to God's Word and with that new behavior. Imagine your life being lived out with that new godly behavior. If you're dealing with a negative habit, you're going to have to build some imaginations in your thinking and see yourself living free from that. You're going to have to see yourself living free from that. And here's, it's going to be difficult because especially for something that you've dealt with so long and lived with so long, all you see is yourself living with that for the rest of your life. You're going to have to see yourself living differently. You're going to, even before the manifestation of that thing shows up. Okay, and I'm not picking on anybody when I identify this. But if you smoke, see yourself free from cigarettes. Even before you're free from cigarettes. Build that into your thinking. Number four, and this is huge, stay consistent with the process. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, okay? But look at me. Everybody look at me real quick. You are going to mess up. That ain't faith. That's not very positive, Pastor. No, look at me. I am positive you are going to mess up. Here's what you do. When you fail, because you're human and you're flawed, but because you mess up, don't get in there and say, oh, I give up. I quit. God's mad at me. He doesn't love me anymore because I messed up. No, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I messed up. Let's go at this again. You know what God says? All right, boy, I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's fight this thing. We're going to win this time. I got you. All right. Number five, do this on purpose. Do this on purpose. Make up your mind. You're going to do this on purpose. Here's the last thing. One scripture I want to give you. Hebrews 6:12. I, as your pastor, do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Now, I gotta say this. Patience doesn't mean put up with. You know, that's what we think it means because, you know, you hear somebody say, well, you know, that person just makes me mad. Well, you're going to have to be patient with them. No, what patience means, if you look it up in the dictionary, patience means consistency. Consistency. Be like those, imitate those who through faith and consistency inherit what has been promised. What's been promised to you? Freedom. What's been promised to you? Good habits. What's been promised to you? God's blessing, His favor, good success, prosperity. All of that has been promised to you. And the way that you're going to get there is through faith. I trust God. I believe God. And then staying consistent. I wish I could tell you that it's going to happen tomorrow. And you know, I have said this statement and I found out I had said it in error in the past. And that is this, that you can build a habit, a new habit in 21 days. That's not true. You can begin to build a habit in a minimum of 21 days. I didn't add that little word minimum, all right? But I'm here to tell you that behavioral scientists, and I read some studies while I was preparing this, that anywhere from 21 to 250 days is what it takes to build a new habit into your life. So you're going to have to be consistent with this, and you're going to have to do your very best. And here's the good news. God will help you. God will help you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. Listen, you got a room of folks sitting around you who are your biggest cheerleaders this morning. We're cheering you on. There's nobody looking at you saying, you got a problem with what? No, we're saying, no, you can be free from that. God has set you free. Jesus went to the cross, paid the price to break the power over that. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Turn to somebody close by. Tell them, you can do it. Hallelujah. I believe this room is filled with people who demolish bad habits and build good, godly, word-based habits in their lives. In Jesus' name. I believe that. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. Lord, I praise you with my whole heart and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. God, I pray for every single person in here today that maybe is dealing with a habit that they know needs to be changed. Father, I thank you that they can break that thing with your help, that the anointing, the power of God is available to help them, to set them free so they can live a new life, a new day, and be free from those things in Jesus' name. And then, Father, we can build good habits into our lives, habits that please you, habits that help us, Lord, to become everything that you want us to be. And, Father, we thank you for that. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I want to quickly give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have never received the free gift of God's mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness in your life, you need to understand something, that all of us before Christ are sinners, that all of us are doomed to spend an eternity separated from God. But I want you to know today that Jesus 2,000 years ago died on a cross for each and every one of us. He paid a great price for us. And He has already purchased our forgiveness. In the mind of God, you're already forgiven. But you and I must receive that into our lives. I'm not asking you to join Spring Hill Church. I'm not asking you to do like the old timers say and find religion. No, I'm asking you to enter into a relationship with God through what Jesus Christ did for you. It's really very simple. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is believe in our heart that Jesus died for you on a cross, that He was buried, and then on the third day, He was raised from the dead, and He's alive today. And then you just simply surrender your life to Him, and the Bible says you make Him the Lord of your life. It's really that easy. All we have to do is just simply receive that and receive the free gift that God has given us. And I want to help you do that today. If you're here today and you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have, but your heart's grown cold towards the Lord, and you know you're not living for the Lord like you should, I want you to understand something. God is not mad at you. See, the devil's going to lie to you and tell you God is mad at you. He doesn't want you back. There's no way. No, and all of that is not true. God loves you. He's madly in love with you. He's pursuing you right now. And all you have to do is turn your heart back towards Him. And the Bible teaches us, Jesus taught us that He would run towards you, that He would fall on you, that He would embrace you, that He would be like we sang a while ago, He be the good, good Father that embraces you, kisses you with mercy and grace and forgiveness. All you have to do is receive that today. And I'd love to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to make that decision today. I need to know, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But with nobody looking around, what I need to know so that I can pray for you is that you need that. And if you would just raise your hand, and by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Christ, or I need to recommit my life to the Lord. If you need that, just raise your hand. Put it up quickly. I'd love to pray with you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me and say it so you can hear it with your own ears. Say this, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Today is a brand new day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.